The Northern Lights are on many travellers' bucket lists. Are they all that they're cracked up to be?
More so. I have been looking at the Northern Lights for many, many years and filming, photographing them and things like that. And I also take small groups of people up beyond the Arctic Circle in Tromsø, Norway, to learn how to photograph the Northern Lights. And when we have a really big display, people break down and they cry. It's such an amazing experience because it's rather unbelievable to see the whole sky from one side to the other changing colour. Dancing around, swirling, twirling, whatever, is beyond belief. It does something to your brain.
They call them the dancing ladies. Why?
Well, it actually comes from Scotland. They call them, the merry dancers. And I'm not sure if it's so politically correct these days, but that's because people thought the way in which sometimes the lights moved very, very quickly, it reminded them of the dancing ladies in the Folies Bergère or the Moulin Rouge, you know, when they kick their legs up.
I know.
And I have to say that sometimes in a really big display where it's getting excited and I will shake, you know, shout out, oh, come on, ladies, you know.
And the colours. Yeah. What is the main colour? It's green, isn't it?
Yeah, well, most people don't see much colour in the aurora. But after a while of learning how to look, your brain becomes more used to it and you gradually see more colours. But with a camera, it shows the true colour of the aurora is green. However, when the aurora gets very intense, then anyone can see colour. And that's when you see the colours like mauve and pink and red. And when that happens, people are just ecstatic.
And you're lucky enough to have this special gene that you can actually see the Northern Lights in different colours that most people can't see.
Yeah, that was something I discovered quite by accident, because I would be with some people and I would say, oh, you know, look at that beautiful red jet or whatever it was. And they would look at me as if, you know, I'd been on drink all night or something. But no, as I don't drink alcohol. There was no excuse, and they would say, how come? What can you see? Or I'd say, oh, there's a lovely purple. And I discovered by accident like that I actually was seeing colour that other people couldn't. And I discovered, in fact, that some people do see aurora colour, maybe 1 in 1,000 or something like that.
Well, it's perfect for your job, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly very, very usable, because people like to see a very bright, a red aurora. To them, it looks like grey, but to me, I can see it brilliant red. But I know that the camera will see it as brilliant red, so I'll say, oh, look, it's red now. Take a picture. And they'll be delighted.
The sun is very important, isn't it, in the display?
Yeah.
How do you simply explain that?
Well, it's straightforward in that the sun, although we see it as a bright ball in the sky, it is constantly throwing out material into space. It's called the solar wind. So the solar wind is blowing the whole way through the solar system, so it will reach the Earth. It doesn't travel at the speed of light, so it takes 3 or 4 days for these particles to reach us. And then when the particles reach us, they are moved around the Earth by our magnetosphere, and they're kind of focused in regions that are close to the poles. Now, not the poles exactly, but in a kind of oval close to the poles. And that's where Northern Lights are most frequently seen. So the Northern Lights are the result of interaction between the sun and the Earth's magnetic field.
That makes it much simpler. Well, I think that even to see the Northern Lights is pretty special, because you don't see them very often, do you?
Well, in most parts of the world where most people live, they are quite rare. But where we're heading to now, for example, up to Tromsø in northern Norway, it's a couple of 100 kilometres above the Arctic Circle, then during winter, the Northern Lights will appear nearly every night. Now, whether you'll see them or not is because of the weather. Obviously, Norway is like Britain. It's a coastal region, so you've got, you know, weather coming in all the time. But because of the fact that where they are situated, the fact is aurora will happen all the time. So your chances of seeing them from Tromsø are very, very high.
And when is the best time of the year to see them?
Any time from September through to the end of March. With most modern cameras, even a point-and-shoot camera, you can actually get very good pictures of the aurora.
Can you film them with an iPhone? Is that being really a bit optimistic?
Well, no. These days, you can download an app that will allow the iPhone camera not to film, that is, like a movie, but to take stills of the aurora. Yeah, you can do that.
I want to know what app this is.
And it's simply called Nightcap, N-I-G-H-T-C-A-P, Nightcap.
And it's obviously a paid one.
It is. It's about $4 or $5 American dollars.
Yes, but it's well worth it if that's on your bucket list and that you want to be able to show everybody that you actually saw them. And the display, how long does it last? Is it just very quick, or do you see it for a long time?
It can be over a long period, many, many hours, doing nothing very much, just glowing in the sky like a great neon light. And then it might break up and perform fantastic swirls, colors, and so on and so forth for 5 or 10 minutes. So it can go from, let's say, 5 or 6 hours to about 10 minutes.
Now, Terence, how did you get involved? How did you get fascinated by the Northern Lights?
Well, you see, I've always been interested in the stars since I was about 5 or 6. And I was brought up in Northern Ireland, which is latitude 55 degrees north. So obviously, at that latitude and at the time when I was young, there's not much lighting, so we could see the Milky Way from my back garden without any great bother.
And not so much pollution either.
Oh, no, pretty good. And then my first really big display of the Northern Lights, it occurred in Northern Ireland, and it was one of those displays that occurs every 20 years or so. It started at 7 in the evening and finished with sunrise the next day. And during that whole night, the whole sky was filled with all kinds of colours and patterns. And it was a very cold night. It was very frosty, so the ground was white with frost. But the aurora was so bright, it turned green.
Wow. So as you say, you can see them in places that you don't expect to see them.
You can, now and again, catch a glimpse of the aurora from parts of southern New Zealand. Even from Tasmania from time to time. Those are rare. But to really see the lights well, you want to come north to Northern Norway in particular is the best.
You obviously went on into a career at being an astronomer.
Stars, yeah.
Yeah, looking at the stars.
In a way, do regular programs on like the BBC and things like that. So I actually did more broadcasting than anything else. And then later when they built a big planetarium, the only one in Ireland, in Armagh, in Northern Ireland. After Patrick Moore, he was the first director, and he left. And then I was later asked if I could come along and work in the planetarium and become director.
And since then, your career has developed into radio and television and lecturing.
As well as producing and directing television programmes for companies like Discovery, all to do with astronomy and space. And for my sins, I was the person who first used video in planetariums and changed the way planetariums worked from being electromechanical devices like the Zeiss Planetarium to where they became electronic digital devices.
I believe you've worked with NASA too.
From time to time, kind of minor stuff, I wouldn't say I did a great deal there, but largely with all kinds of researchers, all over the world, including Australia. I had a lot of contacts, actually with the planetarium in Melbourne, but other places around Australia. And I worked very closely with some of the people who worked at what was then the Anglo-Australian Telescope, now the Australian Telescope, which is a magnificent instrument. And I was very lucky to get to know and be great friends with one of the greatest astrophotographers of all time, who is an Australian, originally from the UK. His name is David Milne. David still lives in Australia. But that man is probably, will go down in history as the man who brought colour, scientific colour, to the sky. Before him, all astronomical photographs are in black and white.
Have you done any books?
I have written a number of books, but not about the aurora. I was tempted to do a little handbook about how to photograph the aurora, for example, because a lot of the material that's out there is quite old, and there's a lot of new material that's come in about where to go, when to go, what equipment to use. how to predict when an aurora might happen, and that's these days is much, much easier than it was just 5 or 10 years ago. So I'm thinking about that.
Thank you, Terence. It's been terrific talking to you, and you've made me understand a little bit more about the Northern Lights, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them one day.
Thank you.